The long assumed looks like it's about to happen. Short of any last minute potholes, Elon Musk will be buying Twitter for the grand total of $44 billion. The initial announcement certainly created a variety of reactions, financially, politically, a few other ways. My next guest is here to analyze the steps Musk needs to take and what challenges he faces in this new venture. He recently wrote about this on RightForge, where he is the chief communications officer. He's also senior editor at The Federalist, vice chair of Young Americans for Freedom, and author of the book, The Art of the Donald. We say good morning to Christopher Bedford. How are you today, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great to have you here. RightForge.com, TheFederalist.com, and we have links to those sites and Chris's book as well on our homepage, of course, IssuesAndIdeasRadio.com. Twitter, to say the least, has high name recognition. Maybe a lot of people don't realize financially, not so great. User retention, not so great. A lot of people think going private lessens a load for Musk, but doesn't eliminate it, does it?
No, he's got a lot of different challenges trying to turn around a business model, especially one that's in a very hostile environment where he's facing rebellion from staff. He's facing attacks from politicians and media. He's facing attacks from other executives. And he's vulnerable. He's completely vulnerable. His internet servers are right now entirely hosted by Amazon Web Services. They host his site. And you've got the head of their community outreach saying that the employees want to quit Twitter over him being pro-free speech and come work for them. And then you've got Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon Web Services, criticizing him in public. There's a lot to go against. So Elon Musk has got to be a pretty confident guy, obviously. He's the richest man in the world so far, at least in public. He's never been defeated. He's a formidable person, and he's got some very strong ideas to try and reinvigorate this place and turn it from a very insular, bullying, strange environment that it's become to one that's more open and communicative. He faces a lot of issues with that, but if he could do it, then I think there's certainly a path to profit for him.
Does he have to be careful with, I'm not going to say Trump specifically, but does he have to be careful not to let the place become a troll factory? Because, as you said, people will be just on the edge of the tree branch waiting to pounce down on even the smallest thing that goes wrong with this.
Oh, certainly. And the people are going to be attacking him. And I was talking to a reporter from the BBC the other day who said, how could he not possibly want to fix this troll issue? How could he? And I said, this troll issue has never been something that's ever actually been fixed. This has always been a problem. He's not going to be able to solve human nature. But one of the things that he intends to do is to go after the bots and those things that those things that have been used to really target the harassment of people and to go after them.
Are the bots already responding? Because I'm not on Twitter. I don't know if you are, but a lot of users all of a sudden since this past week are seeing a huge increase of followers. Are those the bots biting back all of a sudden?
I think a lot of that is actually, we don't know for sure what is going on with that, but we do know that the lawyers have said they had to, that the employees of Twitter had to stop messing around. They could no longer change anything. This was to stop the potential for any kind of sabotage in Twitter. So when this happened, no one was allowed to touch the knobs. No one was allowed to change what was trending. No one was allowed to potentially shadow ban, which we know that people have been doing from documents that have been leaked, which is basically a ban of someone. They're not actually banned, but no one can see their content. When people stopped touching the knobs, there was a massive increase for a lot of different voices that maybe have been dissident in the past. And that is something I think that potentially could be the cause of all this change.
We're talking about the staff, but let's go a little higher up about who heads, I guess you would say, the new and improved Twitter. Is Jack Dorsey going to reclaim a role? Is there a risk of Musk taking someone he likes versus who he needs?
Yes, I think there's a risk of that. And Jack Dorsey's been someone who's rumored. He's a close friend of Elon Musk. He's someone who's expressed satisfaction and happiness with the fact that this was going on. And it would be problematic, I think, for him to take that job because he's got the right ideas, has not shown to be a strong enough manager to deal with the pushback he's going to be getting.
Darren Christopher Bedford, who is Chief Communications Officer of the RightForge, Senior Editor of the Federalist, author of the book, The Art of the Donald, RightForge.com, TheFederalist.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as the staff, if there is an exodus of the staff, is that necessarily a bad thing? Because an owner sort of wants to have the people molded his way and thinking his way.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing for him. It's basically a signing bonus for the new owner of Twitter to have the most fundamentally and aggressively anti-free speech people in the company decide if they can no longer work for it. If you're afraid of Elon Musk just having a Bill of Rights-style company, then you're probably not someone he wants working there. There will, of course, be a lot of people who will stay. Those people can sabotage. Those people can cause trouble. There will still be an issue as far as him being able to find a strong right-hand man to enforce his vision, right-hand man or right-hand woman to enforce his vision. But getting rid of those radicals at the first step is crucial.
A lot of talk, too. Musk is threatening, I guess would be the word to say, of making clear what the algorithm is for Twitter. If Musk opens that algorithm door, how much pressure does it put on Facebook and all the other social media platforms?
Well, that's the most crucial change that he's suggesting. Out of all the changes, that one would be massive, because so far the algorithms have served as kind of a protector, a wizard's curtain to hide, you know, the Wizard of Oz in real life, to hide the censorship regime, to hide the people who make the decisions on who's canceled and who's not, to hide the people who oversee them, and to hide how they're chosen. They always claim that this is proprietary, their algorithms. If he says no more to that, if he says those are public, that's a stake in the heart of the entire algorithm regime, because that's what dominates Google. For example, if you go on Google and try to find something that maybe doesn't fit with the liberal narrative, you're going to have a lot more difficult time than you are on maybe Bing, another site that's got search engine that's got significantly less controls in that area. This is going to put pressure on Google, which is the main provider of information in the United States, also Facebook, and basically any other social media company to say, you can actually show us your algorithms. You can't hide anymore, and now you're being exposed.
Caught the wind, too, that a lot of people are treating this Musk taking over Twitter as a liberal versus conservative issue, which I find odd because, at least by my understanding of who Elon Musk is, he sounds more like a libertarian to me.
Yeah, he's not at all a conservative. Conservatives who think he's conservative are missing it, and liberals who think he's a liberal are totally missing who Elon Musk is. He's a contrarian. He's someone who describes himself as maybe center-left, someone who happily voted for President Barack Obama, but has someone who's really very much been left behind by the Democratic Party and some of the woke mob, someone who at his core is still very pro-free speech, at least according to him and all the things that he said and pushed, and someone who doesn't like to be bossed around and pushed around. And we saw this with the Democratic reaction to Kyrsten Sinema and other people who've broken ranks who typically ought to be on their side, which is an attack, attack, attack that ends up pushing them away. Elon Musk has actually commented on that in a tweet earlier today that said, I don't know why they're attacking me. He's just making, why would they want to make me into an enemy when I could be a friend? And it's going over and over again. All you can hope for with Elon Musk, I think both sides are going to be disappointed. The best thing we can hope for is someone who's just pro Bill of Rights. The United States has a pretty good system for how to police speech, and I think he ought to enforce it.
A lot of people want to know, too, what kind of dedication, devotion is he going to have to Twitter as a private company, because he doesn't have shareholders to answer to. He'll be the head of the board for all intents and purposes, and he's got so many other irons in the fire. Is this going to be a case where he's going to set up shop, hand the keys to someone who, again, debate will be whether he likes them or trusts them, and just, you know, knock on the door every so often, sort of like a Warren Buffett type of visit?
That seems the most likely in a normal world, but Elon Musk has been defying our standards and been very difficult to predict so far. I mean, you're right. He's got Neuralink. He's got the Boring Company. He's got Tesla. He's got SpaceX. He's got massive contracts. He's missing a chief operating officer at Tesla and has been for over a year. He's also taken some stock hits in that company, and he's got investors that are kind of upset that they think his focus is elsewhere. This sort of project with Twitter is another massive project. You wonder how the heck somebody can have so much time in a day. But he has shown a real personal connection to this project, something that makes me think he's probably going to keep a closer eye on it. But the strange thing with Elon Musk is, you know, he's not a religious man as far as I can tell. He's unmarried. He's the richest man in the world. He's got no board, like you said. He's maybe one of the very rare people in this world who acts like he has no masters. And that makes him rather unpredictable. But I do think that the investors in those other companies are going to be keeping a close eye on it, because they want to make sure that the pet projects of the CEO, no matter how important they might be to the republic, don't get in the way of their businesses.
And you would think, too, the other platforms, not just for the algorithm idea, but if Musk messes up to any degree, do you think that's going to increase the chance for Section 230 to have its plug pulled?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's coming. He's already, the Senate Democrats have already said that they want to talk to him. There's a potential for the Federal Trade Commission to step in and take a look at this, not because there's actually any serious case to be made for monopoly control, but because so much of the federal government enforcement mechanisms have become so politicized. I think there's the Department of Justice and other people that have become very politicized are going to be looking into him in a way that they haven't before. Anyone who finds out, whether you're the Koch brothers on the right or Soros on the left, if you mess around with the wrong people who have control of power, they start to look into your businesses. Maybe the EPA checks out your energy. Maybe you get audited, as President Trump has had happen over and over and over again. So I hope he's got some good lawyers. He seems to know that he's got the whole world coming at him right now, but I hope he's prepared for that.
The article is entitled, True, the Richest Man in the World Has Thus Far Impressed, But the Twitter Fight Poses a Real Challenge. It's over at RightForge. We've linked to it at our homepage as well. RightForge.com, also TheFederalist.com, a couple of sites associated with my guest, Christopher Bedford, as well as the book, The Art of the Donald. Christopher Bedford, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.